Girl Scout that remembers signs up? This is how the leader would get us to calm down. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. Well, welcome to Reasonable Church for our annual Christmas Candlelight Service, or Candlelight Christmas Service, whichever you prefer. My name is Ginny, and I'll be leading the service today. Before I begin, I'd like to know if there's anybody that's never been here before. Oh my gosh. Okay, so this is wonderful. Miss Rowe, how did you guys find out about the service?
Grandparents.
Yay, grandparents. And how about on this side? Anybody?
You.
Me.
Lisbon Ledger.
Okay.
Lisbon Ledger.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't even put it in that one.
Somebody did.
Well, yay. That was great. Yeah, I mean, we put it on the radio. We put it in the papers. I tell everybody I know, and I hope you'll tell everybody you know. So thank you for coming today. This is wonderful. I just want to thank a few people that are really important to getting the service going today, and Pat is the first one. She's our organist. She's playing on the new organ. This is our 1916 organ. We have our original organ over here from 1892, but we haven't found quite the right seating for Pat at that organ yet. So she's going to play the new organ for us. Also, to Kevin Norton and Wes Moore, who collaborated to get the driveway clear and the parking lot in good shape for us. That was great. For Pam, there she is, who came one day and helped me put the greens and the candles in the window. It was very nice to do that with somebody. That was really, really good. And if you have time afterwards, I live in the house up the hill on the right-hand side. I'm having some refreshments afterward if you'd like to come up and enjoy that with me and others. That would be great. All right. So if you look in your bulletin, we're looking at the call to worship. Typically in Reasonable Church, our call to worship for just about every service is a hymn called Come to the Church in the Wildwood. This is the church in the Wildwood. But for Christmas, there's also a wonderful carol that's a great call to worship called O Come All Ye Faithful. So what we did today is we've kind of meshed these two together. And the words that we're going to be singing are on the back of your bulletin. So if you could take a look at the back of your bulletin and see what our medley is going to be, that would be great. Pat will be leading us in this, so whenever you're ready, Pat. Please stand.
Joyful and triumphant, O come, ye all.
prayer. Beloved in Christ, as we await the great festival of Christmas, let us prepare ourselves to be shown its true meaning. Let us celebrate the promise that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will bring all people and all things into the glory of God's eternal kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Folks in the back, there is some seating up front if you're interested in moving forward. That's up to you. We're all good? All right. So there were many prophecies in the Bible, in the Old Testament, regarding Christ, his coming, and what his mission would be on work, as well as his death. So for part of our service today, we're going to be looking at some of those prophecies. We'll be doing some readings and then singing songs that are appropriate to it. So please follow along in your bulletin as we look at the first reading, which is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 5 through 6. God will send a righteous king. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. Please turn to carol number 5 in your book for the first and second verse of Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Have access to a caroling book? Everybody? Okay. Is there anybody who's sitting next to someone that they could share their caroling book with? We're good. Do you want to pass that up maybe to the row in front of you? Great. Anyone else? We're good? Okay. All right. The second reading is from the book of Isaiah. The prophet declares a child will be born, and his name will be Emmanuel. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Please turn to carol number 19, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, for the first verse. Isaiah also, a branch from Jesse's tree. Jesse was the father of King David. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, and he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Continuing with carol number 19, verse 3. Prophets is from the book of Zechariah, and it's about the coming of the Messiah. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is foretelling of Christ's arrival in Jerusalem. We'll finish this portion with continuing Carol 19, the fourth and seventh verses. Four and seven. As we go into a time of prayer, I want you to know that toward the end of the time of prayer, there will be a time of silence. And during that time, if you feel on your heart that there's someone you'd like prayers for, a concern that you have, feel free to either call it out or just think it silently to yourself. Maybe go to an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the prophets who you led to share the promise of the Messiah. Thank you for giving us opportunities to share about you with those who have not heard the good news of God and who do not believe. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a tool to reach out to you, that tool being prayer. Prayers to give you thanks and to let our requests be known. Thank you for this church in this place and your churches everywhere where people learn about your love and are lifted up by your light of love. Let us keep in our hearts those who cannot be here this Christmas time, those who are far away from home, defending the freedoms we enjoy, those who are not able to travel for whatever reason prevents it, and for those whom you have called home to be with you. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to present a service of worship in your honor. I ask that this congregation will find a special blessing by connecting, by coming to this church today. During the next few moments, if there's a prayer you'd like offered, feel free to say it aloud or keep it to yourself. I ask for prayers for a woman who's going through a very difficult time right now. Lord, rest your hand on her. Let her feel your strength and your comfort. I thank you, Lord, for the sound of the young people in our congregation today. It's just so wonderful to hear those noises. Wonderful, amen. Wonderful noises. Amen. Exactly.
Prayers for Bo Berry of Carthage, Maine. And battle of cancer.
We humbly offer these prayers to you, O Father. And now pray the prayer Christ taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I heard that. All right, so we come to why you really came today. Let's do some caroling. Pick out a song that you would like out of the caroling book. I ask that you say the number and the name and the number of verses that you need to have done. Yes, Naomi.
Number 27,
the
Lord of
Naomi.
Naomi.
Not
Naomi. Naomi, oh my God. Mia culpa, mia culpa.
You heard your mother.
So, Naomi. I didn't hear which four verses you wanted.
Just one.
We Three Kings. Yes, exactly. Yep. First verse, because I think most of us know the first verses. We don't even have to look.
Our clever angels sing, glory to the newborn King. He saw
28. That's not bad. We are singing all three verses of We Wish You a Merry Christmas.
Lay down here.
Everybody heard that? Number 8, first verse. The first Noel, first verse. Sing.
Yeah. Number 2, Angels.
All right, so how about we're going to take the offering now? While we're singing the offering, we'll sing Angels We Have Heard on High. Number 2. And that was how many verses?
Just one.
Just one. Awesome. May people are coming forward. And if we can have just a moment of prayer. Lord, you are so good to us, often in ways we do not even recognize. We now have an opportunity to return just a small portion of what you have given us. We ask you to use our offerings to accomplish your will. Amen. Play it through one more time, Pat. Christmas is almost here. Today is a chance for all of us, people from different backgrounds, different jobs, different areas, to gather together around the familiar story of Christ's birth and to journey once more with the story's characters to that small manger in Bethlehem, filled with hope and expectation. Christians throughout the centuries have sought not to just hear the story, but to somehow become a part of it. I think about the walk to Bethlehem in Rangeley, how every year they do that, and the countless pageants that my children participated in Sunday school when they were little. And everybody wants to dress just right. They want to look just like the shepherd. They want to look just like Mary. And it's all, we kind of get to be a part of the story that way. But can you picture yourself there, traveling to be a bystander or a witness to the birth of a child who changed our understanding of who God is and who God wants us to be? Of course, once we've seen that awesome event, we'll all want to come back to our warm home with larders full and football games on the TV. Well, maybe it's hard to imagine yourself as a bystander there, but it's not hard to imagine each of the characters arriving in Bethlehem, tired, exhausted, and ready for it to all be over. Perhaps that's how we arrive on Christmas morning, after what has become the busy frenzy of Advent. Some of you may have a lengthy list of things to do, starting as early as October, maybe even earlier. Just as our biblical characters are each in motion at that start of the story, We all seem to be in perpetual motion once the month of December begins, and perhaps even before. There is so much to do. What to buy this year? Or do you want to make your gifts? Where are you going to buy them? Or where are you going to buy the materials to make them? Are you going to go shopping for anything else? Are you going to stay home? Are you going to go away? And if you're going away, well, you've got to make those plans. Airline, bus, train, making sure that you got everything packed. Sending cards or not? And if so, who? Who to? Buying the cards and the stamps and taking the time to write them. Putting up the tree, putting the lights on the tree. To decorate or not decorate the tree. Decorating the house. Lights up outside, lights up inside. Any other decorations? A creche? Are all the gifts wrapped? Do you need to plan a Christmas Eve or Christmas Day dinner? Well, you need to shop for that. Baking cookies and perhaps the dreaded fruitcake. Perhaps hosting a holiday party, delivering cookies and the dreaded fruitcake. Maybe visiting with shut-ins, Christmas caroling, fitting into the schedule town activities like we did in Madrid, tree lighting, potluck supper and gift exchange. Did you remember to buy that gift? Children's Christmas party and a candlelight service at Reed's Mill Church. And if you're like me, racking your brain to come up with something different, some new traditions. A Sunday school teacher asked her class what the four-week season that came before Christmas was called. She yelled out, Advil. I think maybe that's what some of us feel like we need by the time we get to here. Decisions, decisions, decisions. It's exhausting. Then wait what seems like just a few months, rinse and repeat, and then repeat again and again and again. The list I read certainly looks a lot like my list. Maybe you share responsibilities with someone. Maybe you don't do a thing on a list. Maybe you reap the benefits from someone else's list. It's all good. Whichever way you prepare for the big day, we all make choices. Today is December 22nd, and if you are one of the people with a to-do list longer than Santa's good boy and girl list, hopefully you're almost at the end of your list. We've been getting ready for what seems like forever, but we're finally heading toward the home stretch, the finish line. Yep, it's almost over. Isn't that kind of what the angels told the shepherds on the night Christ was born? To paraphrase Luke, the one you've heard about, been waiting for, the Messiah, the Savior, he's finally arrived. Go and see with your own eyes. It's finally happened. This is a moment to celebrate. The world will never be the same. The people had been waiting for this moment for what seemed like forever, and finally, it was there. Christmas doesn't bring us to a liturgical finish line at the end of Advent or Advil. If anything, it's a starting place. It is a chance for us to live out the light and love that the Christ child came to bring into the world all those years ago. I wonder how those shepherds felt hearing the news and going to see for themselves. From that moment on, maybe they looked at the world in a new way. Their jobs hadn't changed, their life's position hadn't changed, but they knew they had witnessed something holy, something sacred. And from that moment on, they knew what was foretold had happened, and happened exactly as the prophet said. This baby was the Messiah, the one who the prophets promised, a future Jewish king who expected to save the Jewish nation. And I think we might experience the weeks and even months before Christmas as if we were a playing piece on a chessboard, moving ourselves this way and that, struggling and strategizing to reach the end of the game. It seems like we're in perpetual motion. We think of Christmas as a finite place where we end the journey, where we give and receive gifts, tokens of affection and esteem, a finish line where we share love and goodness and fellowship with family and friends. And then we pack it all up and put it away until next year. But on Christmas Day, we join Mary and Joseph, the shepherds around that small manger, and all of the movement stops. For a moment, Mary and Joseph and the shepherds gaze in awe at what is in front of them. And then just like that, the shepherds are in motion again, returning back to where they began, to glorify and praise God for everything they had seen and heard. Even Mary and Joseph were forced into motion again, fleeing to Egypt with their newborn child. And that's why Christmas morning is such a gift. We get to stop, like Mary, to treasure all the words and ponder their meaning in our hearts. So is there anything wrong with all of the lists and being in perpetual motion, getting to the place where we can finally rest and enjoy ourselves, where once again we can breathe? And what if we don't get everything done on that list? Do you think Christ cares? There's nothing wrong with a lengthy list, the traditions we keep, the being thankful when the hoopla is over. There's nothing at all wrong with that, as long as we are remembering to celebrate the birth of our Lord, Jesus Christ, as well. As long as we also see, are mindful of, that within the conclusion of every story, in every pregnancy that results in a birth, in every prophecy fulfilled, there is a new beginning, an entirely new story. We commemorate that new beginning each year and would be wise to treat it as a new beginning each year. When it comes to the well-known Christmas story, the familiar lines of the scripture we're about to hear, we are only at the beginning. Christmas is only the beginning. It's not a finish line. It's the start of a whole new story taking form in a tiny infant wrapped in rags, but much loved and much glorified. And once you think of Christ this way, how perfect that Christ would choose to enter this world as a tiny baby. Truly a new beginning. It used to be very popular to make a list of New Year's resolutions, promises for self-improvement, increased exercise, decreased calories, more lists. What do you think God is thinking watching us make all these lists? Some of us are definitely list-loving people. God loves and accepts us with all our faults, no matter how much we stumble and fall, no matter how much we accomplish on our lists, no matter how quickly we give up on our resolutions and self-improvement plans. God never thinks we're failures, but I bet if God were hoping we'd make just one resolution and stick to it, it would be to acknowledge Christ in our hearts daily and to give thanks for this new beginning we get each December 25th, and let that keep happening between now and all future December 25ths. Come to Bethlehem and see. Revel in this quiet moment after a season of motion and busyness, but know that our real work is yet to come. We are called, not just on Christmas Day, but each and every day, to reflect God's light and love into a world that desperately needs it. But we can only do so because we have paused for a moment to stand around the manger and to see and hear that small child's promise to each one of us, that we are each known fully and unconditionally loved by God. From this moment on, maybe we can start looking at Christmas with new eyes, with a fresh perspective instead of through a lens of repeat expectations. Take the child into your heart this Christmas day and let him be the start of a fresh, new, beautiful story in your life. Amen. Hear now the reading of the story of Christ's birth as it's told in the book of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you great tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. It's a great story. Well, we're going to come to the time when we'll be singing our final carol, which is Silent Night, number 24. We'll be doing all the verses. But at this time, I would ask my two ladies to come forward, and we'll start the lighting of the candle. So what I'm going to ask you to do is tip your unlit candle into the lit candle that's being offered to you.
And hope that it lights.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, what a joy this service has been. We know you rejoice when your people gather to celebrate you and the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I know you have enjoyed the time we have spent here this afternoon. Please keep the reason for our celebration close to our hearts as we go about the busyness of the holidays. Help us to remember that when we arrive at Christmas Day, we don't consider the race to be over, but the business of you is just beginning. Bless each person here with a joyous and meaningful Christmas. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Go now in peace. Go now in peace. May the love of Christ surround you everywhere, everywhere you may go. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Where do you want us to put the candles?
Back in the basket outside?